Greetings, listeners. Welcome to the WIP 12 podcast. I am Raymond, and today I'm here with Andrea. Hey, Andrea.
Hi, hello.
Hi. He's from the Tuscany Meta, and you have been to the Italian satellite.
Yep, the one and only Italian satellite we had.
Awesome. Yep. So, and you went there with Corregidor.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
I've been playing Nomad for all my Infinity career, and I had started playing Corregidor, so I figured I would take it to the tournament. And then I dropped them because I played like 30 games in a row, and I said, well, that's enough.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to start a new army, 15 models, and you play something else entirely. So.
Sure, I'm like 110 models in, so that's fine.
Yeah, that's a nice number. Yeah. That's a healthy number. Looking at my
considering there are almost all nomads.
Oh, you get everything from the nomads. Oh, that's awesome.
Bit of Chesvasti for Defiance, Bless Defiance. Yeah. By the way, I sent my Gamma to the first painting competition. It's him. It's of the four.
Yeah. Oh, that was actually really nice. Yeah. Well. So we're going to talk a bit about the satellite, because you you kept record on how the matches went.
Yes, of course.
So we're going to listen to how your games went and how Corregidor performed during this competition. Because we had the Bakunin deep dive, but there's still Corregidor, and they already also got some new units since we covered Corregidor. So, very interested which one you used. So, what was the mission setup, and which list did you bring to facilitate that?
So, we had Cryogenics, Acquisition, Biotech War, Unmasking, and Highly Classified.
Oh, nice.
I think a good varied lineup.
Yeah, I'm always happy to see Biotech for that. I know, your TO is a masochist. Yeah.
Well, let's say it shaped the meta of the tournament a bit, because we had like 80% sectoral players and 20% vanilla, and I think Biotech 4 was a big part of that.
Yeah, Biotech 4 is uneasy when you have to use every order per unit to keep at least two orders to get units out of the deployment zone.
And if you don't have especially when your opponent spends one common token to say you can't use more than one common token, and then you are really, really, really in the deep.
Yeah. I have my situations where I played Ariadna Vanilla, and I think I never ever won a Biotech 4 during a tournament because of it.
It's hard.
Yeah. I'm hoping for my camos to go through the -3 and at least drop somewhere, but it never works. It works out during the tournament.
Half the time, it works every time.
Yeah. Half the time, it fails every time, was in my case.
So, shall I talk a bit about the lists?
Yes.
And how I build them?
Yeah.
So, my two lists were more geared towards tables, actually, than mission. I built a list for... because I didn't know what kind of tables I would find, since it's my first big tournament I went to. So I built a list for more open tables, let's say, with big fire lanes and the like, and a list for more close quarters battles, let's say.
Yeah.
And for Biotech War specifically, since that mission forces you to move towards the middle, so you have close range fights anyway.
He wants an up-close and personal weapons. Yeah.
So let's speak about that list, the Biotech War list, let's call it. Mm-hmm. There I had flexible fire teams in both, but here I have Mobile Brigada Lieutenant with boarding shotgun, two evaders, one Feuerbach, and one engineer with boarding shotgun, jets, FTO, of course, a Vostok, a Wildcat with heavy rocket launcher, Doctor, a Jaguar with light shotgun, EM close combat weapon, transductor, Mech Murrow, of course, that's group one. And group two, I had a reaction zone, a Stempler zone, so the flash pulse and the total reaction, and the Evo Hacker, since it has the bonus order, and the transductor.
Yeah.
So the idea here is to like pick and choose depending on the table and the opponent how to use the fire teams. But let's say the basic configuration was Brigada, two Evaders and Jazz in one mm-hmm. team, and Wildcat, Daktari and Jaguar in a Harris, and the Vostok by itself to leverage its climbing plus yeah. and its mobility. I ended up using this list in Biotechware and in Highly Classified, this has both an engineer and a doctor, and we rolled one doctor and one engineer classified.
Yeah, and you're relying on the speed of your rems to get themselves out?
Exactly. Yeah. The fire teams are efficient in themselves to move out, and all the nomad rems, except the flash pools, have climbing plus for nomads and the high movement values. So in one or two orders, you are out of the zone. The only slowpoke is here is the evil hacker, but you can sacrifice it if need be.
Yeah.
And I built with coordinated order in mind. As I can see, the group two can be coordinated all together to move forward.
Yeah, they're with four. Yeah, that's a nice way to go. Yeah.
And so this is the list for close quarters, and it doesn't have any forward deployment to not to be hindered by exclusion zones.
Yeah.
So I left my Morans at home for this one.
It's two design philosophies, like either go like fully hope you can get people to safety and just roll for it, or don't press your luck and just have everything in the zone and just hoof it out.
I opted for that approach since I could use the list also for missions that had maybe an exclusion zone that would diminish the value of my Morans.
Also, for sure.
And the second list instead is for the more open tables. In fact, we have a defensive core formed by a Wildcat with Heavy Rock Launcher that I really like. It's in both lists. Mm-hmm. Jets FTO. That's, you can't really leave home without her.
Yeah.
Adductor and two Alguacil, one Lieutenant, one Decoy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a Mobile Brigada Hacker that has the sweet Teamboat -6 and an Evader Appy Spitfire. All these seven can form a link, but I usually use the first five and leave the Mobile Brigada and the Evader alone, unless the opponent has heavy hacking, in which case I put the Brigada in the link to give Jets the protection of the Teamboat.
Yeah, -6. Oh. Just then already pretty good, and then -6 with it, yeah.
Yeah, it's needed to against like an anathematic that will kill you anyway, but at least it will take you more, take him more orders to do so.
Yeah.
And then we have, a Moran, this time we have him, and a McMurra.
Yeah.
And an Hellcat paramedic, that's the cheapest specialist Hellcat you can have and has the bonus in cryogenics. Then in second group, we have Carlotta Kowalski for the sweet parachutes deployment zone and a little Harris of Diablo, Jaguar, and Jaguar. One Jaguar with Panzerfaust and a DC launcher, and the other Jaguar, common Jaguar with chain rifle.
Yeah.
And then the second Moran, because if you have one, why not two?
Yeah.
They sell them together in a box. I have to.
Yeah, that's just the way to go. That's Corvus Belli saying, these two go really great together. Yeah.
And notable exceptions. I have no missile bot in either of the lists. That's more a conscious decision, let's say. Because I figured I would play really good opponents, and a missile bot against a good opponent is like -1.5 SWC you're playing.
You rather meet them in the field than bombard them from afar.
Yeah,
it takes a lot of orders sometimes.
Exactly. I figured if I had to Alpha Strike, I could do it with McMurrog. And if I had second turn, the missile bot would get killed anyway.
Yeah.
So I chose not to bring it. And then the other notable absence, I think it's the Gator. But I had never played it, actually. So I figured trying it in a tournament wasn't the best idea. So I went with what I knew, two lists that I was actually comfortable with, especially the second one. The first one is a bit more atypical, if that's English. The second one I was really comfortable with.
Yeah, I'm that kind of idiot that brings new stuff to the tournament, but mostly I'm like, well, after five games, I probably know win or lose if I like this unit or not.
Yeah, I'm pretty anxious person, so it was the first tournament I went to, and so I decided to go for comfort all the way.
yeah, not give yourself headaches during games. It's already pretty consuming on yourself to play three games and then two games on the next day. So it's already five games is a bit of already for energy a matchup. So to make it to yourself comfortable, it's probably best to go for what you know.
Yeah, also, I actually never played with timer. So that was another worry of mine, not to be able to finish the game in time. Actually, that wasn't a problem. I was one of the first to finish in all the rounds. Ah. But, you know, before going, I really had to
speed up
check
your play.
Myself.
Yeah.
And actually, we knew about the tournament like the day before inscriptions closed, because it was mentioned randomly in a group we were. So we were like scrambling to sign up and to get going, because I really wanted to try a tournament. And randomly, I get to know there is one. It was in Bologna, so really close to where I live.
Yeah.
And then, so we quickly organized to go, but I had no time to get many practice games in. And my girlfriend that came with me, she plays JSA. She was really, really, really anxious about the games and everything. And I got a bit anxious myself. But in the end, it was a really, really great experience. Met some really nice guys. And I was totally happy with how it went. I had been to 40K tournaments before. And that's a whole other setting, let's say. Yeah. You met a different kind of person, I think, there.
Yeah.
Let's say I brought Eldars with, like, for fun, with the units I liked, let's say, and I often had my models in the case before the start of turn two.
Yeah.
Here instead, I met many friendly people, and I had a great. We both had a great time overall.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice to hear. Because, yeah, how did they set up the tournament? Because you said it was in Bologna. Like, how did they set it up?
It was in a, I don't know how you say in English. It's so a kind of bar where you have like tables for, and you can rent them for games or for a more serious business.
All right, the conference room.
I don't know. Yeah. It's circolo in Italiano, in Italian, but I don't really know how it is in English.
Everyone, hold the pause the podcast. Look up circolo. 5 minutes later.
Sorry.
And we will learn an Italian word. Oh, it's very exciting.
It's like club, but I don't think it's the right translation. I don't think it has a real translation.
All right. So you were at the club. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. That sounds right. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. They had a club. They hired some places to so you could set up tables. And how many people did show up? So how many tables did they have?
It was 40 places, the tournament, but in the end, four people didn't show up, so we were 36.
36, that's still a nice number.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And the place was actually very, very large, so it wasn't really cramped in there. We had like four rooms with tables and like six tables each.
Yeah.
So it was like perfectly playable, and there wasn't like that background noise that forces you to shout every time you speak. So that was really nice too. And we had food there, so we just had to go down a flight of stairs, and then we could eat and drink, and there was like beer at €2, so that was really helpful.
Good food, good environment, drinks on hand. There are worse ways to spend a weekend.
Exactly.
Yeah. So So your first match, Cryogenics. How did it go?
Yeah, so I I went there with a bit of nerves, you know, the first game, and I met Lilith Rouge, my opponent. That was a very nice girl. She hadn't played for some time, so we were both, let's say, going through the motions of setting up and deploying and reading together the mission. So that really called me a lot. Yeah. She was really nice. She spoke very quietly, so I had to come to her side of the table often. But yeah. She played Neoterran Capitoline Army.
Oh, yeah.
She had a limited insertion list with a big bolt core with your multi-sniper rifle, of course.
Yeah, shooting the 19s. Lovely.
Yeah, of course. She had an Aquila Guard in there that I had never seen, actually.
Uh-huh.
That was her Master Breacher with multi-marksman rifle. Then she had one paramedic and two common bolts, one of which was chain of command. And yeah. She told me, and I told her, that's private information. And she told me, well, it's fine. Then she had a single Auxilia with her Auxbot, that I figured it was her lieutenant, because no other options. An Evo Hacker and a missile bot. And a big hole in points, like I could see. She finished deploying, and I said, you only have this? Where's the rest of the list? So I figured there was some surprises to be had later.
Yeah.
We chose Master Breachers. I had my Mobile Brigada Hacker, so I played the open table list, let's say, because I felt more comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
And she chose her Aquila Guard. I lost Lieutenant Roll. I actually lost all Lieutenant Rolls, but she chose to go second, which it's perfect for me because I am a turn one kind of player.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So I was really happy with that.
Yeah, but with the end scoring, it's probably also smart to go second. So I don't think it was a bad idea, especially.
No. It's not not a bad call for sure, yeah. But I always feel better playing first.
Yeah.
She had a kind of strange deployment in that she concentrated all her forces in the left side of her deployment zone, my left side, and she deployed her core team in the middle of two buildings on ground level, and then on the roof of the buildings, she had her Evo bot and her missile bot both standing. That was the peculiar thing. I don't know why the Evo bot was standing. I asked her, and she said she wanted to take some orders from me shooting at a useless thing instead of doing the mission. And I was really happy to oblige shooting it. And then on the other side, she had her Auxilia alone in a corner crying and hoping not to get shot. So
I could imagine with two hidden things that you might do a trick like I got an Evo standing up here. Oh, look at me! I'm just a humble Evo, and then you try to shoot it, and then you get a missile in your ass.
Yeah, that was what I expected.
Yeah.
So I went with my Evader with Spitfire. I could move into my good range without being seen. Yeah. I picked and shot the Evo, and nothing came out. The Evo went unconscious, and I was confused. Then I shot the missile bot. Missile bot went unconscious. Nothing came out. I was even more confused. Then I figured, if something has to come out, it will come out. I play like if it's nothing there. I took McMurrog, ran it forward into her deployment zone to see what would happen. And what did happen is McMurrog got shot a lot, but managed to template three other guys of the fireteam, and two went down. So that was really great, great trade. I took down the paramedic and the common bolt.
Yeah.
And then how do you say it? Parachuted my Carlotta in her backline behind the Auxilia. and shot that dead, because her flamer bot had the facing that allowed me to walk in without being seen. And so I managed to kill that. And I actually forgot to move my Master Breacher in a scoring zone because, because of killing frenzy.
Yeah. Just you end up with, I got to kill all the stuff. Oh, wait, objectives. Yeah, that's something you should do at some point.
Yeah, I remember to open like the two cryo coffins on my side, and they both were empty, actually.
Mm, yeah.
So, yeah, that was great. So I passed the turn to her, and she had chain of command, so my kill on the Auxilia wasn't really effective in that sense. And she revealed an Hexa that pushed one of the buttons on her side, and had like an ineffectual firefight in the middle of the board with some of my guys that were I had advanced with the Harris of the Diablo and Jaguar,
mm-hmm.
and the Evader.
Yeah.
While my core stayed in the backside, I had the Wildcat propped up on the bridge between two buildings in my deployment zone. That got shot to heavens by the multi-sniper that wasn't anymore on 19s, but was still pretty mainly enough to take down my poor Wildcat.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I didn't suffer heavy losses, actually, in my first turn. So I went in my second turn pretty confident, actually. And that's when the Swiss Guard came out, of course.
Just when you get confident, you walk up your whole link team.
I moved my Diablo and Jaguar's link forward, and he appeared. He was very close, like 8 inches close. But I discovered that... he not only has a missile launcher, it has a shotgun, and he shotgunned me on like 22s.
Oh, yeah.
21.
Skill 15, yeah.
21s, and my guys died. that's the short outcome of that. My guys died. I put templates on him because I couldn't win any face-to-face against Mimetis -6 and BS-21. So I put templates on him. He passed armor saves. So I couldn't do anything to him. I shot a bit the Aquila Guard that was peeking from the side to contest the zone, but that was a no-go either. He passed armor rolls, and I couldn't do a wound to him. But I consolidated my two quadrants that I had, let's say, pretty handy control of. Mm-hmm. And I managed to open the third objective, getting shot in the meantime with my evader, and revealed the second HVT and denied the 2 points for opening two. And my evader actually survived. That was really important. Survived one wound and got two guts back around the corner. So in her following turn, she had a few orders. She consolidated.
Heavy units on the table still, like the Swiss Miss and the Aquila Guard.
Yeah. She had the two big guys and like three more orders, I think.
Yeah.
So she consolidated her quadrant where all her forces were. And so I managed, I think she made a mistake in that she moved the Aquila Guard not far enough to get into the quadrant. She was like an inch off.
Oh, yeah.
So in my last turn, I managed to outpoint the Aquila in the quadrant, and I ended up controlling... both quadrants with the HVT, I think.
Yeah.
So I had, in the end, 2 points for activating three of the four tech coffins.
Mm-hmm.
And no, actually, I dominated only a quadrant with an HVT, so that was the other one.
Yeah.
Because in her third turn, she moved the Aquila forward into the quadrant. So I had the quadrant on the other side, where Carlotta was alone and uncontested and happy again. Beside the HVT, and that was fine. And she had the quadrant with all the big guys in.
Yeah.
And my evader was clutch because he survived another round of shooting with in his no wounding cap and managed to threaten the HVT for a point. That was what happened. So that was, really, really good of him. He was definitely the MVP in that game. He shot a bunch of guys and then survived the, three rounds of shooting. So, and I scored 2 times my Master Breacher.
Yeah.
For the Brigada that was alone in my backfield mining zone business.
Yeah, just grabbing points and being there. Yeah. Sometimes it's all you need to do.
Yeah, it wasn't really no need to overexpose myself to any more damage than I already suffered with my forward elements.
Yeah.
So in the end, it ended up being an A2 victory. That was very, very good for my standard. Let's say my plan going into the tournament was win at least a game. So I had that covered.
Mission accomplished. Really go home. Yeah. So that was the tournament. Yeah.
Yeah, that's done. So we went into round 2, and I felt much better about my play. I thought, this is actually manageable. There's no, all the guys seemed really friendly and chill and not overly competitive.
Yeah,
that was what really made me go with less anxiety into second game.
Yeah,
game 2 was acquisition. Game 1 had a table that was more or less the Corvus Belli set of Operation Blackwind.
Yeah,
doubled. 2 sets and 2 expansion sets.
Yeah.
So it was not really the most dense table. It wasn't empty because the 2 objective rooms occupied a great deal of the midfield, but it wasn't the most dense. Instead, the second table I played on was a bit more dense with very high buildings and some scatter containers and such.
Yeah.
And was acquisition, the mission. I met my opponent, that was DJ Guido 95, that played military orders. So hearing military orders, I instantly picked the list with 2 hackers because, heavy infantry.
Something so can be hacked now. Let's do.
Yeah. So I went with the same list again. I lost again the lieutenant role and my opponent chose deployment. So I picked first turn because that's what I do.
That's what you do.
Again, I went against a Panossianian with a limited insertion list. He had limited insertions too. He had the first one in a link with, I heard 3 Hospitallers doctors, but I misheard. One of them was not a doctor, and that would be important later. But 3 Hospitallers, the first one, and then 3 specialist Teutons linked together in a Harris. That is the submachine gun Panzerfaust profile.
Yeah. Nice then, and cheap.
They are excellent profiles. All the Teuton profiles are excellent. I expected the Spitfire NCO, but he preferred to play 3 specialists. Then he had the Knight of Montessa with Red Fury and an Evobot. I think that's everything. So going first, I deployed pretty aggressively with my Morans as far forward as they could be, and my McMurrog that was my reserve with an approach vector towards the first set. That's the main threat I have to face. So I had actually a really good first turn. I moved forward with my he deployed the Evobot pretty forward, so I could move my Amoran and place a koala next to it. And he was alone, so anything he would do in the following turn, he would take a koala to the face. That was nice because Fairy Dust would really, really screw me because he has 8 heavy infantry.
Yeah.
And then I got into a hacking contest with Fersen, with Jed, from the other Mora. And I managed to put him unconscious after some orders. And then I ran McMurray forward to contest all his 1,000 doctors. But he passed some armor saves. I berserked into him and he didn't die. And I died from the return fire from 2 Teutons that saw the movement out of the smoke. So that wasn't the best play, actually. But I was trying to get his doctor down so that he couldn't revive Fersen.
And
I was convinced that Fersen was his lieutenant at that point. So I thought, well, it's fine. He's also a lieutenant. He won't do much. So yeah, that was more or less my first turn. And then it's his round and he's not a lot of lieutenant. So I'm thinking, wait, that something is wrong here. Maybe he has a Knight Commander Holomask as someone. Now I have to shoot everyone once to discover who is the Knight Commander.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, there was no Knight Commander. So my second turn was very confusing. I shot like once every one of these guys and no one was another, no one was Holomask. And I was like, who is the lieutenant? What even profiles are lieutenants in military orders? So yeah, that was confusing. But then his second turn is Montesa run forward. His first turn, yeah. Sorry, is Montesa run forward, shoots something, but got carbonated and oblivioned on the way. So yeah, that wasn't too effective. His Evobot tried to put up fairy dust, and it was the shortest fairy dust ever because it stayed up for half an order, then he died to the critical. And then he moved forward with his Teutons, but couldn't come too close because of the rocket launcher I had put up on a building. So he mostly set up for his following turn. And he revived the Fersen, of course. So turn two, I had to contend with the Fersen. Again, I put him unconscious again. Then I combat jumped my paramedic close to McMurrog and revived him with a medikit. He has pieces 16 and it's pretty easy to revive. Then he charged the Fersen, berserked him. He had one wound and he died again without doing anything. Yay. So the Fersen was like bulletproof. And I also parachuted the Carlotta in his backfield because he had like Hawkins and an Hospitaller doctor on the other side of the field. And I shot the Hospitaller in the back and he died. That was very nice. But then I ran out of orders in that group, so I couldn't go to kill Hawkins. The turn ended like in that situation. And then he told me he was in loss of lieutenant. Yeah. And that Hospitaller I just killed was his lieutenant. And I said,
you finally found
me. Can doctors be lieutenants? And he was like, no, he's not a doctor. Well, that's a random play that I made. So that really saved me because him being lost, because Hawkins managed to get the drop on Jazz, but doing so walked within a pitcher. So it was his multi-marksman rifle contested by my Oblivion. And for one round, nothing happens. Second, he spends a command token, he tries again, and Jazz wins and isolates him. That was really lucky from my part. He was like shooting four dice on 17, three dice on 17, like something like that. But yeah, I managed to avert that disaster. And then my third turn was pretty straightforward in the fact that I could move forward my Vader and get a diagonal on many of his remaining pieces. So the AP Spitfire against the full heavy infantry list is really good. So I managed to down the other Hospitaller and one of the Teutons, I think, and to take the objective on the side and activate it. I activated the objective on the other side with my Brigada Hacker. And but then the Montesa in the middle that was isolated and immobilized managed to reset on a one. So I had to shoot him. I thought I would leave him be for the rest of the game. He was chill. I was a friend. I didn't want to hurt him. But then he reset, and I had to shoot him with my Wildcat rocket launcher. And that took way more orders than I expected. Like, he was dodging and returning fire, and I couldn't get wounds on him. But
yeah, still a gunfighter with mimetism, and it's a tough dude. Two wounds,
It's the two wounds, high armor.
Yeah,
he managed to get some cover after my first try, so that was hard. But in the end, I managed to put him down. But I didn't have the orders to contest the the middle button.
Nah.
So I had, and then he tried for a last attack, but instead of going for the middle button that gave the 3 points, I think, he went to contest the button I had with the Mobile Brigada, with his remaining Teutons.
Yeah.
But luckily I managed to immobilize them before they could reach contact with the objective. So yeah, in that game, the Brigada Hacker really pulled his weight.
Yeah.
Both in the reactive fights against against Fersen, and in the end to immobilize the Teutons. But it was kind of to be expected. With he had a fully hackable list, so it was really a bad matchup for him, I think.
Yeah.
So in the end, I had 2 activating communications antenna, and I controlled both communications antenna, and no one had the middle one. Yeah. And I secured HVT with Carlotta, I think.
Yeah. So
for a 7-0. It could nice have score. Been 7-3, I think, if he moved his Teutons to the middle, but maybe there was something I don't remember that prevented it.
Yeah, he might have hoped to push you off a button, yeah, control, yeah, yeah, that one, take away points, yeah, while gaining them themselves.
Yeah, yeah, sure. It would, yeah, have been a good swing, yeah.
Yeah. Could have been a game-winning action. But it did not. And yeah, the whole lieutenant situation reminds me of 2 games that I had. One where they're against a Assassin player who had an AP Asawira. And I was like, all right, that guy is really good with AP Spitfire in active. So let's shoot him in reactive. And he had him around the corner, still in a 5-man link team. So he was performing well. But I could take him out, first 1 wound, and that he was still on 1 wound, and and then I could take him out, and even when he was unconscious, shoot him dead, because
it's regen.
Regen. And then he said to me, all right, I'm in loss of lieutenant. I'm like, how? I only shot your Asawira. Yeah, that was my lieutenant. Why is he standing there? Why didn't you jump away after the first wound? And I was like, yeah, maybe I could win. And I was like, oh.
It was the mind games.
Yeah,
you never think it's my lieutenant if I don't get him back to cover.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So let's let him take some damage some more. And I had one game where my opponent was convinced he had my lieutenant, and he shot my lieutenant, but he forgot that my army was Cosmo Flot, and I was so I had a dude with chain of command, the Zenith 7, and he wasn't aware that the Zenith 7 existed, so he killed William Wallace, and he was like, why do you have all your orders except for your regular dudes? And I'm like, I'm not in loss of lieutenant. Yeah, you are. I'm like, I'm not. Like, prove it. I'm like, no, because then I reveal my secrets.
One of my models has activated chain of command.
Like, I my army has the possibility. That was what I said. He was like, I want someone to check.
Call a TO. Look at his list.
I said, open army, then you will see it. But he was like, no, I won't open army. So he got a bit he was a bit miffed about it, played along, and then it was like, at the end. But yeah, he was miffed because he thought he knew my army. So yeah, the things can happen. Yeah, if someone's like, yeah, showing you your army, is like, this is a hospitaler paramedic, this is a hospitaler paramedic, this is a hospitaler, this is my Hawkins. And then you're like, oh, they're all paramedics. And then
I actually probably misheard him because they were all the same. So he said, doctor. That was really funny, though. I was looking for this knight commander that was nowhere to be found. Yeah. And then I should have realized when he had only 1 lieutenant order, because the knight commander has plus 1.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was even more self-inflicted mind games.
Yeah, but sometimes it happens. You're in the tournament, you're like, that's the only option. While there is evidence, but you overlook that. Because you're just in the
game. I was really happy he had no Trinitarians, because they are, like, scary.
Yeah. by the end take all the objectives from you coming from hidden deployment.
Yeah, the hidden deployment template is like deadly.
yeah, for sure. So yeah, 2 wins under your belt. So you're going well. So let's go to round 3.
Yeah, I go into round 3. I'm slightly worried because I start to feel really tired. And I think, the pairings now won't be so kind to me because I have 2 wins. So my opponent will be good.
Yeah.
And indeed, my opponent was good. It's Gerlo, and he was playing a White Banner Army.
Yeah.
White Company. I always mix them up.
Something with white, yeah.
The mercenary one.
Yeah.
The one with the Karus.
Yeah. Yeah, the nasty, nasty Karus. Yeah.
So he had indeed the Karu Haris, so with the Karu Feuerbach, Kaplan Doctor, and Haidao Engineer. That was a bit strange. I usually see the Beast Hunter with them, but
yeah,
I think it's good. This was Biotech War, of course. So yeah. And we played in a super dense table, like with very, very high 2-story buildings and bridges everywhere. And you couldn't see a thing from ground level. Like there was like 2 fire lanes that were beyond 16 inches. But from the roofs, you could gunfight at like 32 or 24. So it was like a pretty peculiar table to play on, and Biotech War made it really interesting. I think it was one of the most interesting game I had. If it wasn't for the fact that I was like completely out of my my balance because I had never played 3 games in a row, so in the end I was seeing ghosts. He had this Haris, mm-hmm. then he had 2 Varangians, a Total Reaction Bot, a Lone Hork HMG, a Danavas, and a core link of an Haidao Multisniper, Haidao mm-hmm. Hacker, Beast Hunter, and a Kaplan Engineer.
Right.
So a lot of specialists.
Yeah.
And I lose the initiative again, but he chooses second turn, which is, understandable in Biotech War. And he sets up, of course, his arrow pieces. He had 3. He basically put the Karu in the middle of his deployment zone, the TR bot on one side, and the Haidao on the other. He had a really nice place for his core, in which he had a building that was at the edge of his deployment zone,
mm-hmm.
and he could traverse to the middle of the board and almost to my to the 16-inch line on my side, only by moving on rooftops and bridges.
All the bridges.
So he had a really nice approach covered from ground level to move his guys. In fact, he deployed there the Orc, the core team, and the Danavas.
Yeah.
So I had to move out of this terrible ARO situation. I deployed, I used, of course, the Biotech War list. So, and I used the fire teams in the configuration I thought. So the Vostok alone, Wildcat, Doctor, and Jaguar, and on the other side the core with all the mobile brigada jets and 2 evaders. I deployed the core on the side with the Haidao and the Karu because mm-hmm. jets has white noise.
That's
my saving grace in this game. So I move forward, I put up white noise, and I shoot the Karu with him. He takes the minus 6. I shoot him with my Feuerbach from the stairs of a building.
Yeah.
And he dies first try, so that's fantastic. Then I wanted to remove 6 cents from the Haidao to give him the minus 6 for the white noise zone. And I could see the Beast Hunter by climbing on the wall. So, but I had no cover in that way. So I tried it. It went badly. I took a Panzerfaust to the face and died. Yeah.
That's what Panzerfaust do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Linked Beast Hunters are no joke.
Yeah.
So yeah, that plan failed, but I could advance with the remainder of the team. Basically where the Karu Lance of Fire were. So I could advance without being seen by the Haidao. To safety. And I moved also my EvoBot and my Stempler, all nestled in behind that building that he could reach with his core. Mm-hmm. That was a bit dangerous, as I discovered later. And then I took a bunch of gunfights with my TR bot against his TR bot. My TR bot had marksmanship. His TR bot was better built and won the gunfight and killed me. So I took the fight then with the Vostok, and that went better. I downed his TR, and then I discovered I was really tired and I hadn't kept orders to advance my Harris out of the zone. So a whole Harris was left to his own devices into the biotech war plague, and that's lucky. And so the doctor died, the Jaguar died, but the BTS-6 on the Wildcat kept him alive. So yeah, mm-hmm. that was good because he was on a low rooftop that had good lines of sight actually towards the middle of the board. Yeah. So he would cover my Vostok.
Yeah.
So it's his first turn. First thing he does is to launch the Beast Hunter in a straight line. He has a covert approach to reach my core fire team and my Stamper Zone and my Evo repeater, all into a fire template.
Oh.
That was like, I started seeing moving. I realized that his angle and was like, well, this is going really well.
So, and that's when he realized he fucked up.
Exactly. I should have put someone to watch that corner. And I didn't. So, yeah, he rolled up. Flamethrower template. I shoot with the Evader and the Stempler and dodge with everyone else. Jets burns to a crisp. My EvoBot makes his dodge, like, incredible. Oh. Two orders awesome. Saved like this. And my Stamper makes his save, actually, with armor 0 against damage 14. And my Evader only takes a wound, so I lose basically Jets to that flamethrower. That is really the best case scenario possible.
yeah, because it burned all.
And he dies from return fire.
Yeah.
So, yeah, another disaster averted. then he moves up his core on the roof to get out of the zone. And his Kaplan, the Varangians, all move forward without meeting resistance because I couldn't set up AROs to his deployment zone in a feasible way.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I seem to recall one of his Varangians died to a shot from the surviving Wildcat that had a long line of sight. That was it. He had really no great losses in his turn. Then we go to measure his biotech war zone, and he had misjudged, I seem to recall, one Kaplan by an inch, so he died.
Mm-hmm.
He was tired too, of course. He was a really good player. Like, I think he played better than me. But then my own... and I was forgetting one very important thing. Advancing with his fire team, he brought the Danavas with him, and he managed to pitcher and isolate my Brigada Lieutenant. So in my second turn, I was in loss.
Yeah.
So, that was not the easiest situation to navigate. But I made do with the command tokens. And my Brigada actually was a hero. He, with his order, irregular, isolated, he jumped up a flight of stairs, shotgun two people, killed both. Exceptional performance.
Yeah. He's doing well in several games now.
Yeah. He's he's one of my favorite sculpts and one of my favorite pieces because he has an off-reels profile. Actually, it looks kind of average, but then his stats are so high, like Fizz 14, Armor 5, is so durable. And that's often what you lack in Nomads, durability and... a solid piece, let's say.
Someone that can take the hits and deal them, yeah.
And that's he's, I think, the best lieutenant option you have in Corregidor anyway.
Yeah. Since it's also very obvious who is the lieutenant,
yeah.
Let's be someone that can survive for longer.
Have the double Alguacil approach, but it costs one SWC, and then you have him. That's really good for 30 points. Like, you can't ask for much more. So my second turn goes actually quite smoothly. The Navas gets blown to bits by the Brigada, so the hacking mana is gone. His other hacker is a killer hacker, so with the Jets dead, he can't do much.
Mm-hmm.
And so I push forward with my regulars. I manage to shoot someone with the Vostok. So going into his second turn, he doesn't have much left, actually. He tries to gunfight with the Brigada, but he keeps winning every firefight. So I saw he was getting pretty frustrated, understandably, because he couldn't dislodge this Brigada from the rooftop. He was isolated, but he stayed there standing and took every gunfight and won.
Yeah.
One good role he had was shooting my Vostok with a combi rifle from that rooftop while moving towards my Brigada. I think it was an hideout hacker or something that shoot my Vostok with a combi rifle like on twos and crit me, and the Vostok died. That was really funny. But yeah, apart from that,
you always miss if you don't.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was minus 3 range, minus 6 mimetism. Cover. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I had to cover from this angle, but yeah, it was like a very low roll. But he made it work, and the Vostok went down. So he had, in the end, his hideout engineer on one side, together with the surviving Varangian. And on the other side, he had... I seem to recall the Haidao hacker had one wound left or something like that. And so in my third turn, the Brigada completed this work. He killed basically the whole fire team by himself and even scored two classifieds, I think, because one was Extreme Prejudice and the other one was the one where you have to extract the brain, how it's called, in Extremist Recovery, like.
Yeah.
And he did both on two corpses that he had laying there because he had reset on an ARO. Then my engineer went to repair the Vostok. Like, he did the whole traverse the field to repair the Vostok. That was, I think, my third classified. So I had, like, a good amount of points standing in his last turn. Yeah. So he made the push with, he had like two models. He had the Varangian and the Engineer. He made the push to my HVT and actually got one of his classifieds, but died to ARO. So the game ended with him having no pieces on the board. And then I discovered one thing I didn't know about Biotech War, that all the pieces that are in the zone at the end of the game count dead. Doesn't matter if they pass all their BTS saves.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Well, I should have known that because it's written in the mission, but I didn't. And so my Wildcat had passed all his BTS saves up to that point, and I was really happy because he was the thing that brought me over the threshold for surviving points, and then he died. And then my opponent says, no, that counts dead. How? He passed every BTS saves. He's a god. How can he be dead? And...
You forgot to move him just an inch into safety.
Exactly. Exactly. And my Stamper Zone also died because I moved him too far forward and he died into his Biotech War Zone.
Oh, yeah, the classic of...
Yeah, so...
I'm doing so well!
We go to count points, we make mistakes, like we recounted points like 3 times. And in the end, I didn't, because I was counting from the up. And I didn't put my Vostok alive, even though I had engineered him. So I think I had one less points than I should have, but yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I was really tired out of my mind. Like, I was not understanding anything. I usually do calculations, like, for real, but I didn't have the mental strength to do it. I just pressed dead on the app until a number showed. So I had the points for the classified, 3 points plus 2 for more accomplished, and had more army points killed, of course, and 0 surviving instead of 1, I think.
All right.
And he had the 2 points for his 2 classifieds that his hero engineer did on the last turn.
Yeah.
That was a really, really heroic push. Like, he had nominated him lieutenant after the orc died in the midfield. I don't remember how. Maybe to that same Stempler, the Heroes Stempler with his combi rifle marksmanship, kills an orc, HMG in cover, like what? Yeah, that was why he was so far forward. He was hunting for the orc lieutenant.
Yeah.
So, like, with three orders, lieutenant plus two, he managed to do two classifieds and then die to arrow, but that's fine. Like, it was a really good play.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, I...
Three wins.
With a bit of luck.
Yeah.
I ended the day on three wins. Like I'm, like, really, really happy. I'm ready to go into second day, you know, with no worries.
Well, with all the worries, because you might win the tournament if you win those three games.
I didn't even think about it that yet.
You have three wins. You're like, oh, I only wanted one. This is good.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
My girlfriend also had nice games, except in the first one where she forgot to deploy a Ryuken. She left it in the bag.
Oh, yeah.
So she lost by like 1 point, so maybe that would have swung that. But then she went into second game and 10-0 her opponent, like 0 points surviving, massacre. Like, okay, that's fine. And her opponent was playing Corregidor, so like that was a message.
Yeah. I trained against my partner. I know how to kill. So, did they do anything at night? Did they organize anything after the three battles?
Yeah. They had a reservation at a restaurant, but we sadly couldn't go because my girlfriend is vegetarian and it was like a meat restaurant, like Roadhouse, and not really the best.
No.
So, we went for pizza instead and went to bed because we were both wasted, like,
naked.
Very tired.
All right, so in the early mornings, you start with the last two games. So round four, how did that go?
Round four was unmasking. We played on a really nice table, one off from MicroArt Studios. All the Japanese team, the scenery was really nice. Was a really nice table. It had like walkways and one big, elevated floor. So there were basically two height levels, the ground floor and the first floor, in which that were practically the same surface area. And my opponent was Vorag, and he played the new Bakunin.
Mm-hmm.
Also really good player, like he plays since N1, I think. He had some old school Morlock sculpts, really nice. I had never seen them, actually. And so he played like your classic Bakunin list, but without Riot Guard. So he had a Moira multi-sniper linked with Mother Wabara and the Custodier, that was his lieutenant. Then a Chimera, a Taskmaster in a Harris with two Morlocks, the profile with the Heavy Rock Launcher, Flashputs bot, and Brando Castro, Zoe, and Pywell.
Yeah.
I lose initiative again. He chooses deployment, so I pick first turn again.
And you're playing unmasking.
Yes, we're playing unmasking. And he deploys, like, he reserves, of course, Brando Castro. And I deploy my core. I choose the list for the open table, so the one I'm most comfortable with anyway.
Yeah.
And I deploy my core fire team on the only scenery that had two floors on my side, so that I could dominate both height levels with my rocket launcher, and the rest of the team went down one level. And then we have McMurrog on ground level, and on the other side, basically the rest of the army. So we have one side is McMurrog and the Link, and the other side is everyone else, like the Harris and the Brigada and the Evada. And then, of course, the morons in the midfield to click the objectives as soon as they can. So he deploys the Moira watching at my Link, and the Taskmaster had a really nice line of sight to double ARO my rocket launcher. So to lock me from having a clean fight with one of them. And then they deployed the Chimera and the Morlocks on ground level, so that when the taskmaster didn't need anymore the plus one burst, he could free them and move forward. And everything else was hidden away behind the big scenery he had. So there was Zoe and the Custodia and Mother Wabara.
Yeah, nil deploying to keep away from that heavy.
And he had a missile bot.
Yeah,
the missile bot that he deployed on the side with the Chimera, watching a lane, like not really watching, but with a smidgen of his base, peeking out to see approaching threats with his missile, because yeah, it's a missile launcher. You can't ignore it.
Yeah.
So he reserves Bran and he deploys straight in front of my rocket launcher that luckily I had deployed prone, because I didn't know if I wanted to take the fight with both these ARO pieces. So I said, well, better to be prone and then to decide what I want to do. Yeah. So he deploys right in front of me. And I think he misjudged the target numbers we were on, because then my first order of the game was discover shoot with my Wildcat that has MSV1 and was in a 5-man link. He was like, he reveals, of course, but he chooses to solid slug me with his boarding shotgun. Because on the reasoning that I had the doctor nearby, I could revive my Wildcat if he went down to a template. Yeah. So he would try to survive to get the second shot in. He says, I am on 17s. It's really good roll for me. But I was also on 17, and my Wildcat has an assault pistol, so it's 5 shots.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh. he didn't realize. I told him I had an assault pistol when he deployed, but he didn't realize that the numbers were quite so bad, because that's a 17% roll, one dice versus 5 on 17s. So yeah, I win that role. Brando Castro vaporizes, and that's a really good start for me, because then I can advance with Murog, throw smoke, then get up with my Wildcat and smoke shoot his pieces, because they have no visor and they can't really shoot me back because I have 6 cents. So if they shoot back, I cancel the -6 penalty for shooting through smoke with MSV1. So I like shoot fish in a barrel that he's just master dodging. He fails a dodge. He's unlucky on the armor saves, and he goes straight to dead from the first shot connecting. And the Moira goes unconscious. I think I'm messing up the order, because first I advanced with my evader on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And because I had a way to get sight on his missile bot within 24, so I managed to win that fight handily. And he was down. I think he failed the 3 armor rolls and went straight to dead. Like, that was quite unlucky.
Ooh, yeah.
And then I advanced to see his Chimera, because I was very worried of the Chimera run through my forces. And like in that way, I couldn't avoid taking arrow from the Taskmaster. So I split burst 1 into the Taskmaster's, 3 into the Chimera. Chimera eclipsed successfully. Taskmaster won his roll. Evader died. That's life. I should have done the opposite order, because then I put up my Wildcat and killed him, and he stung a bit. So I was focused on solving the Chimera. So I entered with Carlotta from the back and moved on the edge of his near the edge of his white noise. I eyeballed like 7 inches. And then speculative fired my flamethrower, intuitive attacked with my flamethrower. I actually crit my intuitive attack, but he passed his armor rolls and I had no more orders to spend. So I was kind of happy with my placement, because I was more than 6 inches away from the Chimera, but I was within 6 inches of all 3 Pupniks.
Yeah.
So if he would take the Impetus activation, the Chimera would run forward, the Pupniks backwards, and they would disconnect.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was, like, I figured that it would eat her Impetuous and maybe 1 or 2 orders more to get out of the situation. And then I pushed some buttons with more runs, but that's, like, 1 order, push a button, done.
Yeah.
Like, his first turn was where really the misfortune hit him. Like, it was, like, very sad to see, because it would have been, like, a great game if he had been... average roles. Because he moved forward with Pywell to discover one of my civilians and shoot him. And he took like, he took three orders to kill a crazy koala that was in the way. Then he took four orders to push a button. Then one order killed my decoy. He had finished his turn, basically, because he saw that line of play, wanted to go through with it. It was like shoot a koala, click a button, kill a decoy. But for the life of him, he couldn't get his dice to work. And so, yeah, that was his turn, basically. The Chimera managed to rid herself from Carlotta by shooting her with her combi rifle. Carlotta went down, but it basically took the Chimera's orders to do that, and she remained basically in position where she was at the start of the turn. So I was happy with that, actually. My second turn, I discovered I moved forward with my Diabolo and Jaguar Harris to set up AROs with Panzerfaust. And I discovered all his HVTs. And McMurrow, he also revived his Moira with Wabara, actually, instead. McMurrow managed to jump, double chain rifle the Moira, survive the ARO, move forward, Berserk one HVT, Berserk another HVT. and yeah. In his second turn, he kills McMurrog, but he takes what, like five orders with Wabara to do so because he smokes. And he doesn't even kill him. He dies in my third turn because he manages to smoke on his feet and he has no way of digging him out of the smoke because the shotgun has no intuitive attack. And so he tries to stop me from killing the last HVT, putting up as many as arrow as he can, but Murug just berserks him and and he dies, but it's fine. Like, so yeah, that was really one-sided game that could have been much, much more competitive if his dice didn't betray him.
Yeah.
He was a really good player.
So that's your fourth win. So you're going to the finals.
It's at this moment I realize I'm going to the finals.
You're going top table, round five.
Round five is highly classified. We play on a rather strange table. It had these like Warhammer Fantasy Woods that we played as solid infinite height because the base was a bit irregular in profile, and the trees were all different heights. So we said, the woods are just the shape of the base, infinitely tall, and that's fine. It was a strange table in that it had a side that was very high with sniper towers, and all the rest of the table was very low elevation. So, yeah. He played, my last opponent was Stanks. He's one of the players you hear about. He's like, I think, sixth in the international ladder. So he's good. And he was playing Steel Phalanx. And then when he gave me his courtesy list, I realized I had an advantage because his list was called two times Ectromoy meme list. That's one of the lists you have covered, actually, in one of your episodes. So I knew exactly there were no Ectromoy.
Bringing all the heroes.
It's so Eudoros, Pandora, Akmon in one Harris.
Yeah.
And Phoenix, Ajax, Mekaon, and one Myrmidon in another team. Then Atalanta, because I knew she was there. Two Netros, two Flashbots, a Probot, and a Warcore. So two big teams and Atalanta, basically. I lose initiative again, and this time he takes first turn, so I knew he barely sounding dead. I take my biotech war list, so the short range list, because the classified we rolled were HVT retro engineering, so get an engineer on the HVT, HVT inoculation, so get a doctor on the HVT, NetUndermine, that's kind of easy, better on beyond the center line. Extreme Prejudice, and I get for my secret classified HPT designation, so two spotlight rolls against the HPT.
So
I deploy all my specialists on the side that it deploys the HPT on, because it deploys first, and I put my... So I have to mix up a bit the fire teams. So I put the Vostok together with the Brigada Lieutenant, Jazz, and the Doctor. Mm-hmm. And the Evader Engineer all together in a core to have all the specialists I need to fulfill the mission.
Yeah, to jump that HVT and just do whatever you with the Engineer, the Doctor, and the FO. And
exactly.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, I have my Wildcat with a Jaguar and Jazz, actually, and Jazz. So that's an Aris I would normally not really play, but the mission like forced me to shuffle a bit.
Yeah.
And so he starts, and I have mispositioned Jaguar, because Phoenix can pick a corner and see the edge of my base.
Yeah.
I figure it's not a great deal. I'll smoke on 16, but smoke doesn't go down. Jaguar dies. And that's actually pretty relevant, because my Wildcat loses the fireteam bonus at the point.
Yeah.
So, that was an error on my part. And then he throws smoke again in front of a container. And we all know what's about to happen.
Yeah.
Atalanta appears, and smoke shoots my Wildcat with no bonuses. But he slightly misjudged the position of the smoke, throwing it while Atalanta was not on the table.
Yeah.
And so my TR bot had a sliver of a line sight going all the way through the side of the smoke and reaching Atalanta. So it was actually a way worse roll than he thought, because my TR bot was answering with four dice. He splits burst, wins against the Wildcat and puts him down, but loses to the TR bot and goes unconscious.
All right.
So yeah, that was I was galvanized at that point. I can do this. Then Mekion comes around, just shoots two medkits. Atalanta is back up, shoots my TR bot, dead. Well, what did I expect?
That sliver of hope
is gone. The rest of his turn is spent on his Eudorus Aris. He moves forward to protect his HVT. And take some gunfights. I didn't lose much shells. Lose one wound on the Evader Feuerbach, but not much else. Then my turn comes around. McMurrow grunts on the side of the board. I was trying to flank on the right side his big link with Mekion, because I know it's his lieutenant, and Phoenix. And I had a pretty covert approach, but I couldn't advance more than half the board, let's say.
Yeah.
So I stopped there. I did NetUndermine, because McMurrow is a character, so he's a veteran for the mission. And then I concentrated on trying to get the points before Phalanx wipes me off the table.
Yeah, yeah.
So I move forward. I white noise from the Vostok to blind Atalanta. And then take a fight with Eudorus. But Eudorus is really tough. So I fight him with my Evader Engineer with his linked boarding shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
And I fight him like for four orders. And I can't for the life of me put him down. He passes armor save after armor save. And so I take a wound in the process. In the end, he goes down, but I don't have the orders to reach the HVT and do my objectives. So I retreat a bit and hope to survive for the following turn.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, that wouldn't happen, because his big Akmon revives Eudorus. He picks with his Mark 12 inactive, linked, and shoots my Feuerbach dead. Then the big team comes around and starts to eat everything in his path. Like, he throws smoke, moves into the smoke, close combat. Soon I have really few pieces left for my second turn.
Yeah.
And when the smoke dissipates, he has basically ARO on everything I do.
Yeah, because so you walk down, he has surrounded you into a corner.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I see a line of play that's questionable, but I tried for it.
Sometimes that's the way to go.
I have a flash pool spot that can advance unseen up to a spot that I figure is almost 8 inches from his HVT. So I go for it, I measure zone of control, and it's barely in, like, the ruler touches the base of the HVT.
Yeah.
So now I have to spotlight 2 times, and I have 3 orders and the lieutenant order.
Yeah.
And Jazz is in sight of Ajax and Maikeon, I think. So, no, it wasn't. See, it was Maikeon, but it was outside of 8.
Yeah.
So I move my brigada to body block the line of sight. I put it in front of Jazz to body block the line of sight of his pieces. And I dodge in place. I get 1 wound, I think, but I survive. So Jets is out of line of sight. I can spend 2 orders to do 2 spotlights and score me the 3 points for my secret classified.
Oh.
Yeah, awesome. I was pretty proud of that one.
Yeah.
Amount too much, but with the resources I had, scoring 3 points was like my best case scenario.
Mobile Brigada being Superman in your list again, like, I will block Jazz.
Then it's his turn, but I tell him I wouldn't take any more offensive AROs because I think I misremember the classified. There was one classified that required one of your unconscious models. So yeah. I said, yeah, I won't shoot you anymore. So
yeah,
you already have all the points. Like, he had done everything to my HVT passing by with his smoke and clips and everything. Yeah. So it ends up being a 9-4. He does everything except for the last classified, and I do my secret one and net undermine with Murrow.
Yeah.
It's a shame I didn't manage to get the 5th point for the tournament points, but I was really happy with how it went anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty solid. Like, it's your first big tournament, and you just win 4 games out of 5 and end up on the finals table. That's an achievement. That's congratulations.
Thank you. I was lucky on game 3 and 4. I had some really lucky rolls, but I'm really happy with how I played in some instances. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're very, very, very nice. So you ended up on the list of 36. You ended up.
I ended up 3rd.
All right.
For as median, like I have written here somewhere because it was really funny. So the first player is Stanks, the player I lost to in the finals with 25 tournament points. Then we have second Astaroth, another big name. Let's say it's a Portuguese guy, really nice. He was the only not Italian at the tournament. But it was super chill. I actually hoped to meet him in game 4, but pairings were the other way around. And he had 20 tournament points and 37 victory points. Then I had 20 tournament points and 36 victory points. And then my opponent of Biotechvor had 35. So 1 point, one way or another, I would be 2nd or 4th.
Oh, wow. So it was really, really, really close, all in all.
Yeah, yeah.
But you were like the meme, like you have that meme of a guy just celebrating, kissing the...
the medal, yeah.
Yeah, with the medal, biting it, kissing the
champagne. Yeah, exactly.
Third player being very, very happy. Because mostly, anyone coming third is mostly, that's the happy spot. Like the first, you won, but you were... the second one is the first loser, but the third is always happy to be there.
Indeed, I was ecstatic to have placed so high. My goal was to reach like middle of the table, maybe lower third, but placing third was really fantastic, and I got some really nice prize selection too. I managed to get the Outrage box like really an uncommon one, from Corregidor playing Starco is really, really close. So,
That's nice. I won an Outrage box on my first satellite as well. So that's pretty funny. Yeah.
yeah, the organization was really, really good. Then yeah. Daniel, the organizer, was super, super, super kind and helpful. We went the day before to help him set up tables. He thanked us to no end and made sure we were comfortable. So big shout out to him. Like,
yeah.
I really, really, really had fun at this tournament. And my Daniel, girlfriend, too, she had a great time.
Yeah, yeah. Daniel, that's awesome. Yeah, it's always good to help your TO and thank your TO because you spend time setting these things up.
It's a big effort finding all the tables and setting up everything with 36 players. I imagine it's a great deal of effort.
Yeah.
And also, my opponents were all super kind, super nice. I had a blast, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great experience. I can't wait to have a tournament again.
Yeah.
Even though the Tuscany area is a bit tame for as far as events go, since we are not many. I was half toying with the idea of organizing a tournament myself in my basement because maybe we can reach 6-8 players, but well, that's still a dream. Like,
it helps. Like, I myself, I started out a few years back in a local game store. And I mostly ended up like with 4 to 8, and then you get to 12 to 14, but that's where it stopped. Then Corona hit, and I got 4 to 6 again. But now my last
Corona was quite of a thing.
Yeah, but somehow some other groups picked it up, and since I always did one every 2 months, people start noticing. When they started to play with their groups, that there was like this bi-monthly tournament always happening. That the last one I had like 22.
Wow, that's a really big tournament.
Yeah, that's the max because the shop owner does not own enough tables to hold terrain on.
Yeah,
so that's the max.
But space constraints and number of scenery pieces you have, like
you start to stand pretty close together from that point. The next one that is coming up is 17th of September. I already had like 15 people signing up, so it has grown and I'm very happy with it. But that's just by sticking with it. Like, people start to find you, bring their friends, and all of a sudden you have a bigger tournament that you could ever dream of.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Yeah.
For now, I'm sticking to the online campaign. I've played some games for that.
Yeah.
We make do.
Online campaigns always also help to
Yeah, it's really funny to play some narrative. Yeah. I also enjoy writing a bit, so that's nice.
That's good fun to have. I didn't jump on the Operation Hungry Walrus, but that's because of time constraints and I had to choose. So I'm actually in the IGL Mercenaries at the moment.
I heard the episode. That sounds a ton of fun, but I unfortunately don't have TTS, so out of the picture for now.
it's really fun, and I will have an episode about that in future because I'm keeping record with all my battles. And my my little war band is already turning crazy. So, but that I will leave for another episode. So, Andrea, I think that you had an awesome experience, and it was nice to hear about and how Corregidor performed. And I will never look any with great respect towards the Mobile Brigada again, because. That guy can perform.
He really did. He really did.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. It was a real pleasure to speak to you.
Yeah,
and after hearing all the episodes, finally meet you in person. Well, in person, in audio form.
In voice, I'm just a humble human. I'm just a guy from the Netherlands talking about Infinity, which is the game we love. So thanks. Any shout outs you like to make? We already had Daniel, or the TO, who did a wonderful job.
Yeah, I just wanted to add my my group here in Pistoia. So the 4 or 5 players that stick around and come to my basement to play. And of course, my girlfriend that followed me in this wargaming journey, picking up JSA and giving me some really, really good games and something to do together. We paint together. So
how did she end up?
Straight down the middle, 18th on 36. That is I'd say 3 wins and 2 losses. I seem to recall.
Also, very solid performance.
Yeah. She kept up the JSA pride in the tournament.
Awesome, great. Yeah, it's good to hear. Well,
I just want to thank all the people I met through the tournament, because I was added into the Telegram chat for Infinity, and there I met some really nice people, and so shout out to them.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Andrea, thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it was a real pleasure. You had a nice story to tell. And listeners, thanks for tuning in, and I will see you all next time.